Good morning.
Morning.
Today's first reading is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Hear the word of the Lord. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Leviticus 19, 1 through 2. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, 'Be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy.'" 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16. "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be sober-minded. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not conform to the passions of your former ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. 2 weeks ago, we talked about how John Wesley explained how people were saved, and God saved them to good works. That God just doesn't save us and say, "You're a saved sinner, and just hold on till I come get you." He came to transform us, to make us into something more than we were. And one of the things that make us Methodists, we believe that God doesn't just save us from our sins, and someday when we go to heaven, it'll all be taken care of, that God saves us even now. And as I've said before, we don't believe it just because John Wesley said it, but because we see it in scriptures. And at the end of the day, if you don't see it in scripture, I don't care who said it. You don't go by it. Well, the president said, if it's not in scripture, it doesn't matter. John Wesley said, it doesn't matter if it's not in Scripture, we don't go by it. John Calvin said, if it's not in Scripture, we don't go by it. It's got to be in Scripture. And we see in Scripture that God is saying, as the first Scripture we read, that God saved us by grace through faith, and that afterwards He's brought us into a path that we will do good works. We'll start living a new way. We see in Leviticus, we see that God told His people to be holy. We see in Peter, where God, through Peter, says that we're to be holy. Put away what we were doing before, and now to be holy. Because God saves us by grace, through faith, so that we can live a different type of life. God wants us to be sanctified. God wants us to be holy. In fact, if we go into what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, He says, "Be perfect." Ouch. "Therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." What do you mean be holy? What do you mean be perfect? I can't be that. Guess what? You're right. You can't. If you try doing it all in your own strength, you can't do it. Just like being saved, we can't pay for our sins. There's nothing we can do to take care of it. But when Jesus comes into our hearts and into our lives and the Spirit comes into us, then things can change. Then we can be more than we were. But what does it mean to be holy? What does it mean to have that sanctifying grace that John Wesley talked about? Holy means to be set apart. Holy doesn't mean, as I heard one pastor's son asked, it says, "Does this mean I have to be holy like Jesus? Have, you know, be full of holes?" It's like, no, that's not what it's talking about. Holy is the word means set apart. So it means you're not where you were before. You're something more, something different. God wants to, there's many times, there are different words that we use in the in our churches and in the Bible to describe what takes place. Being holy, being sanctified, being baptized with the Holy Spirit. But basically what God wants to do is God wants to set us apart. He wants to set us apart from evil. He wants to set us apart to good. I'll get into that in a little bit. It's not just away from something, it's to something. And also, when it comes down to the end of the day, God sets us apart for himself and for our good. You know, there are sometimes people want us to do something, and it's for their good. I'm sure none of you had employers like that. Yep, you're here to help me. And they didn't really care about you. But God's not like that. When God sets us apart for him, it's also for our good. But God sets us apart from evil. Many people look at Romans chapter 7 and where Paul says, I want to do good and I end up doing bad. I don't want to do this that's bad and I end up doing it. And they say, that's where I live. And well, you may look at their lives and say, you're exactly right. That's exactly where you live. Every time you promise to do good, you end up not doing it. Every time you say, I've quit that habit, you end up doing it again. It's like, what has Jesus done for your life? I hope I make it to heaven. Well, the problem is, though that scripture is in there, they don't see it in the context, because when we start off in Romans chapter 6, by the way, this is before Romans chapter 7, Paul says, he said, what shall we say? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. That means no. Just to make it clear there. We don't want to do that. Are those who have died to sin, how can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live in a new life. God wants us to live a new kind of life. The problem is sometimes we find ourselves in Romans chapter 7. But the thing is, when you get to Romans chapter 8, you see that through the Spirit, you can have victory. The problem is, are you living in your own strength, or are you living in Christ's strength? If you're trying to live in your own strength, guess what? You'll fail. But when you live in Christ's strength, in Christ's life that he gives to you, you can be something more. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 1 says, having therefore the promises dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of spirit, of the flesh, of spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, so I say, walk by the Spirit. How do we not go into the sins? How do we stay out of that? We walk in the Spirit. Because he says, Paul says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Kind of like, I'll give you a perfect example. If you're doing the right thing, you won't be doing the wrong thing. If I'm supposed to be going to New York, I have no idea why I would go to New York, but we're just going to pick that direction. I drive down, get on I-70 and go west. What's the odds that I'm going to get to New York? I'm not, am I? That's just, I've got to pick what? I've got to be on the right direction. And when you're on the right direction, going the right way, guess what? You'll end up where you're wanting to go. If we're doing what God wants us to do, if we're walking the way he wants us to walk, you know, if we're on the right road, guess what? We don't get ourselves into trouble. It's kind of like for someone who's an alcoholic. Guess what? You don't buy a beer. It's kind of, we understand that. And yet, sometimes in our own lives, we have our own areas where we know we struggle, and yet we keep putting ourselves in a position where we get in trouble. Why? Because we're not walking as Christ would have us. We're not walking in the Spirit. And God has given us this power. He doesn't want us to be filled with a list of prohibitions, though there are things we need to stay away from. But he wants us to have a life set apart to love. Yes, being holy means we don't do things. But what makes us holy is what we... It's what we do. It's how we apply ourselves. I almost says it's what we do, and that just didn't sound like it would sound right. Ephesians chapter 2 verse says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." See, we are saved to do something, to do good, to show love, to walk in love. Because God has set us apart to walk in love. He's given us a new life. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 14 says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whosoever does not love is not known, does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but God, he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." In other words, God did this so that we might be saved. "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live, and he is in us. He has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world." God gave us his love, so that we can live above the world. When we walk in the Spirit, we walk in love. Now, when I say we walk in love, that doesn't mean we always feel lovey-dovey. Sometimes love, as much as anything, is a choice. I love my wife. Therefore, a few weeks ago, I decided, and because of everything that's going on, I love my wife, I love my daughter, therefore I'm going to let my wife stay where she is, and I'm going to get up at 6:30 in the morning and start giving my daughter her medicines. When that alarm went off at 6:30, especially when I was up late taking care of something else that I didn't want to take care of, how many of you think I just gushed with love for my family? The laughing tells me you all don't think I did that, feel that. But love says, I'm doing it anyway. Why did I do it even though I didn't feel like it? Because I loved them. Because here's the thing. We talk about walking in love. But sometimes we get caught up in this thing, idea that we ought to feel it. No, sometimes you do what you do because you love, not because you feel it. We walk in the Spirit, we walk in love, not necessarily because we feel a mighty presence of God upon us or we're gushing with love, but because we know this is the way we do it. This is the way we live it out. The amazing thing that happened is oftentimes when we do that, we oftentimes will feel the love. We'll feel it. John Wesley called holiness or sanctification perfect love, because when we're walking in that love, we're walking that holy life. Why? Because God is love and God is holy. So we're walking in love, we're walking in holiness. We're walking that sanctified life. But let me tell you something, sanctification, holiness, love, perfect love, it doesn't mean you're perfect. In other words, you never do anything wrong. Let's be honest. Parents love their kids, right? Y'all loved your kids? Yeah? And you all were perfect in how you handled them, right? And kids love their parents, and they're always perfect in the way that... No, well, let's not go there either. You can love someone and yet make a mistake. Also realize this, when you're walking in love and you're learning to grow in the Spirit, this idea of perfection also has the idea of maturity, growing up. You know, I've got in my backyard now what I would call a perfect apple tree. Why? Because it'll produce apples. That's what apple trees do, right? But you know, this year it did not produce a single apple. Of course, it was this tall. Bill, am I right? Apple trees this tall don't produce apples, do they? No. I've got to wait a year or two or longer, right? Means I got to stick around. What is it? Is the tree perfect? Is it right? Is it a perfect tree? Yes. Is it producing fruit? No. Why? Because it's not matured enough yet. You can be growing in Christ, but you're not, may not have it all together. Why? Because you're not mature yet. Babies are beautiful and they're perfect, oftentimes we think. But you know what we expect them to do? We expect them to grow up. Because going like this, come on, come on. But at 14, we're hoping we don't have to do that. We're hoping, why? They mature. They grow up. And when we walk in Christ, we grow up, we learn, we become more mature. You're saying, I don't have it all together. Do what you know to do. And you will walk in perfect love. Doing what you know what you do, you will walk a holy life. You'll be set apart from God, for God. Is it always easy? No. But it is always good. It's good for us. Now, being sanctified or being trying to live a holy life doesn't mean we become self-righteous. Becoming holy, becoming set apart for God, doesn't mean that we all of a sudden will turn into a Pharisee. What we should turn into is Jesus. But how many know, even when you try hard, you're trying to do right, and you're trying to walk in the Spirit, sometimes you mess up. Sometimes because of ignorance, You think, this will be a beautiful thing. You know, somebody may think, oh, pastor's wife and pastor, they'll love this beautiful bouquet of lilacs. They'll love it. So we're going to bring it in, and we're going to talk with Joe, and while they're out, we're going to sneak it into the house. They're going to have this beautiful bouquet of lilacs. And I will appreciate your thought, and I'll clobber Joe later. Because Joe ought to know, I think I told him that I'm allergic to lilac. Was it done in love? Yeah, it could have been done in love. Was it wrong? Absolutely. By the way, if any of you give me lilacs out of this, I'm wondering we've got a problem. Sometimes you'll fail. Why? Because you're trying to do the right thing and you're not going to know. Sometimes we're human, and though we're supposed to walk in the Spirit, the world and the things around us try to draw us away. Also, we've got these things called bad habits. And a part of our mind wants to go down a certain path, and it takes a long time to learn to walk a different path. It takes effort. The thing about it, with Christ, you can be better. You can grow and become more. The thing about it is, if you mess up, and when you mess up, you don't stay down. Proverbs 24:16 says, "For though the righteous fall seven times, they lay there and give up. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I can't help it. I'm going to keep doing this all my rest of my life." No. They get up. They get up. I'm sure one of these days I'm going to be preaching and I'm going to take a step down this thing and I'm going to miss one of those steps. It's inevitable. I'm going to try never to do that. But let's say I fall. It's like, you know what? I'm just going to give up for the rest of my time here at the church. I'm going to preach like this. How many think this is probably a good idea? Nobody. That's good. If I fall, what do I need to do? Depending how old I am when it happens, I may get up slower. Yep. And start all over again. See, here's the wonderful thing about God. He forgives. When we fall because we've made bad choices, because we followed bad habits, He forgives and says, "Come back and walk the way I want you to." When we fall because of ignorance, because we thought we were doing the right thing, and we weren't, He forgives and says, "Come back. I will help you. I will help you." The Global Methodist Church changed its mission statement at its convening conference into this: "The Global Methodist Church exists to make disciples of Jesus Christ and to spread scriptural holiness across the globe." Why do we change it? One, because we're commanded to make disciples. But because we're Methodists, because we're Wesleyans, we believe God has called us not just to be saved sinners, but to live a life that's better, to live a life of holiness, to live a life. Bill would appreciate this. Him and me got this Nazarene heritage. We need to be entirely sanctified, set apart for God. Entirely committed to Him, because that's what God wants. We see in Scripture, and we've read some of it this morning, God says, "Be holy." And we want to spread amongst the world that God doesn't want to just save you so you'll have a good place when you get in heaven. God wants to save you and help you change your life today. He wants to fill you with His Holy Spirit and give you the power to live a life that you could never live otherwise. The message we have for the world is a message of hope, not for just someday far away, but for today. That guess what? You don't have to be addicted forever. You don't have to have that hatred in your heart forever. You don't have to fall that same way over and over again. Jesus can and will transform you if you let Him now. And I'll tell you what, we live in a world that needs some hope that things can change. Because as I look around today, a lot of things are changing, but everything seems to be staying the same. People are just as messed up as they were 20 years ago, as they were 40 years ago. Some of the things we flaunt may be different, but we're still flaunting our sin. We did it differently years ago, but we're still talking about it. We're still proud of the things we're doing wrong as a culture. And Jesus says, I want to change you. I want to transform you from the culturally acceptable sins, from the culturally unacceptable sins. I want to make you holy. And we have a message to tell the world. You can live better. God will give you the power now. You might be a Christian, but if you aren't striving to be holy, if you don't believe that Jesus Christ can sanctify you, fill you with perfect love in this life, then John Wesley would say, you might be saved. Guess what? You're not a Methodist. Because as Methodists, we believe God can transform you today. God can work in your life today, fill you with His Spirit, and help you to be more than you ever thought you could be. And it starts with one thing. A willingness to say, God, fill me with Your Spirit. Help me to walk in Your Spirit. Sometimes that can be an emotional time where you come to an altar and you'll feel God's presence in my way. Sometimes it's just going to be a choice when you get up in the morning. I'm going to walk as He would have me walk. But God has given you, as a Christian, the power of the Holy Spirit to live a new type of life. Let's take it. Let's take it. And if you're walking that life and trying to live that life, keep doing it. Keep doing it. You fall down, get back up and keep on going. God wants us to be holy. Let's ask Him today. Dear God, You've asked in Your Word, You've told us to be holy as You are holy. And Lord, we cannot do it in ourselves. So God, we call upon You today and say, sanctify us, Father. Purify us. Make us holy. Make us like You. Fill our hearts with love for all of those around us. And help us, Father, in those areas where we are weak. Transform us, God, we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Each one today, fill them with Your Spirit and let them show forth the love of Christ to the world around them. And Lord, let them see You do some great work in their life right now, I ask. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless and go with God.